Welcome back, everybody, to the Star Wars Podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we're recapping the first episode of Secret Invasion titled Resurrection in full spoiler detail. So if you haven't seen the episode, I would get out of here. And I'm here with a guy. Look, I got a bone to pick, okay? He started a group called Tommy's Against Michaels, and I don't love it, but he's still my co-host, and I have to have him on. It is our good buddy, Tommy.
I didn't know you'd find out about that name. We should probably come up with like a cover name, so it's not so obvious.
Yeah, that's really on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, listen, you can't be that safe out there, Michael. Anyone. I can't trust anyone. I don't think I'm leaving my house ever again.
This episode really does induce a lot of anxiety, especially for somebody that just has general anxiety as a whole.
That war with Russia, man, it felt a little too close to home with some of these topics.
Easy. We are joined by an incredible guest. It is the host of the Mad Trivia Podcast. It's our good buddy, John. John, how are you?
Hey, guys. I am doing very well, thank you. I am not a Skrull as well, Michael, just so it's clear for everybody.
Yeah, so, and that's, we need that clarified up top. Tommy, you know, I think I'm a broken record. We say this all the time, but we very much hide our takes from each other. So I'm excited. I want to get your initial takes here. What did you think of the first episode?
I thought it's interesting. I think overall enjoyed the episode. I think it's nice to come back to a more grounded Marvel thing. It kind of gave me that vibe of Captain America 2, where it's like we're getting into the politics, baby. And I think that's what I'm excited for. I think I have thoughts about Secret Invasion and what they could have done. And I'll save them until we get everyone's takes. But yeah, I think overall I enjoyed it. It's nice seeing Nick Fury back. He's back on Earth, baby. Maria Hill for a second, maybe. We can talk about that. And yeah, I think it was just nice to get back into the swing of things over on the TV side.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's been a minute. So, like, typically these Marvel shows are like right back to back. We had a big break here, so it's nice to get back into it. John, I want to get your take. So are you on the positive side here with Tommy?
Yes, I did very much enjoy this first episode. I was a little taken aback by the almost, I'd say, lacking in the amount of Skrull action we had. I figured they'd kind of start it with a bang, but we kind of almost got next to nothing. At least from the comparison to like comics reference, where the Secret Invasion is just Skrull heavy and big superhero heavy. I was kind of shocked that we only got really sub characters besides, you know, Talos, Hill, and Fury.
You know, and that's a good point. And I think this might be a reflection on how I feel about it, because something we talk about all the time, like Civil War, things like that. Like, I didn't read the Secret Invasion comics. I don't even know what Secret Invasion is. So I'm here to say this was my favorite Marvel premiere yet. I loved this. This was so good. This is exactly what I needed. Stop with the stupid jokes. Get down and serious. Have something dark and gritty. Kill characters. They killed a character, Tommy.
Yeah, no, you're right, and I agree with all that. And listen, you're not alone. I hear that the writers and the creators also didn't read the comics of Secret Invasion, so don't worry, Michael.
No.
Yeah, they came up with this story based on the relationship between Talos and Nick Fury, and based on what they know of Secret Invasion, but they're like, do your own thing, you know, make it work. For better or for worse, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, they killed a character. Maria Hill maybe done a little too dirty. She could have got like a movie or a little bit more focus before they did this to her. I thought I always was waiting for her to take over S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. And poor Colby Smulders. I mean, listen, you're probably doing fine with your How I Met Your Mother money and your Marvel money. So.
John, are you a comics guy? Am I alone here? Like, does Secret Invasion mean a lot to you?
So I haven't read too many comics. I kind of dig myself into lore here and there. I do have the occasional audiobook. I'm a Deadpool comic book fan when it comes to like actual comic books. That's where I jump into. But I like these kind of storylines that have these almost impossible odds, I guess you could say, in terms of being able to figure out what's going on, who's going to be who, what's going on behind the scenes. Like, I prefer, like, this is a good one, but I also like Secret Wars. That's going to be a great movie based on the comic that I read for that one. So I like these huge storylines, but I also like that Marvel is willing to, and Disney is willing to, diverge from the comic book storyline so we don't know what to expect. Because it gives even the hardcore fans the opportunity to not know what's coming, which I think is better storytelling than having the expectation on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I think the closest comparison that I have, comic book series that I was really into, was The Walking Dead. And that show diverted left and right from the comics. And it really, like, it really added to, like, the suspense. It's like, oh, here's some familiar characters. I'm excited to have this certain stuff, but I don't really see where it's going. And anybody could die at any point. That stuff is always mixed up. So that's kind of my closest comparison. But, yeah, I guess we'll see. Tommy, you ready to dive into the episode?
Yeah, well, I guess this is a good part to put my little, like, what I would have liked a little bit. I agree with you guys. I love this, what they're doing, and I think that's why I wanted a little more setup. And I think that's my pitch. If I could go back in time to pitch to Marvel, forget the multiverse, forget Kang. Don't do any of that. Start setting up things slowly and have Secret Invasion be your next thing. You have Thanos, which was a huge, like, hey, the threat's outside. It's out in space. Come back, do one that's like, oh, the call is from inside the house. They're here. Give us a little breather, a little, like, it's still intense, but, in its own way. And that's my thought is, like, let's do Secret Invasion. Set it up each movie. Have, like, in the background, we find that, like, oh, at the end of the movie, boom, this person was a Skrull the whole time. We see a hint of it at the end of the movie. And it's, like, this tense. Because the whole thing with Secret Invasion, I feel, is the whole suspense of it, not knowing who you can trust and not knowing who you can't. So I feel like if they would have built it up to this moment, to the TV show, or if it's a movie or whatever, it would have hit a little more than just, oh, now we're getting all this info dumps of, you know, Talos's wife, all this other, like, we're getting caught up when some of this could have been set up, I think, a little bit, is my problem with Marvel right now. Take your time, take your foot off the gas, start setting up some of these plots. But yes, now I am ready if you want to discuss any of that. But
no, I mean, that's well said. I totally see where you're coming from. I mean, it really is like slamming on the brakes here to, like, all of a sudden there are Skrulls everywhere. It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe we don't even have to go as far as you're saying. Maybe this doesn't need to be the entire phase, but something here or there would have been nice. So to kind of, so there's some precedent here for Skrulls, but okay, well, let's dive in. And we open in Moscow in present day. We are following Everett Ross, or who we believe to be Everett Ross. He's going to meet a man named Prescott. And Prescott is doing the whole, red string corkboard theory, galaxy brain type role. And he's throwing it all out. Like, he's basically pitching what the show is. Like, because... I mean, if you know anything about Secret Invasion, you know, like, everything he's saying is true. But he's saying, yeah, the Skrulls are here, the blah, 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 they've taken over. What did you, John, I'll throw it to you first. What did you think of, like, how they set everything up here in this first scene?
So it took me about 35 seconds to associate what was going on with Prescott to the Charlie Day meme. I don't know if anyone else caught that. But he was down to the jitters. Like, he was just like, this is what's going on. We need to really fix this. I don't know what else to do. I don't know who to go to. I can't trust anyone. It was so fast and yet still so clear that I don't think they could have made that scene any different and improved it. I feel like it was the perfect opening for this show, using the right character with Everett Ross, and more so being what evolves into the end of that scene, which I'll let you get into before I start mentioning it. But yeah, that was a great opening scene for this show.
Yeah, no, and Tommy, I want to get your takes on this, because Prescott at some point figures out that Ross is a Skrull, and we don't know it in the moment either, but something prompts him to attack, and he ends up shooting Prescott. But I'm curious, what happened here? How did he know?
He said, right, like, he's the one person that you can trust. They're probably buddies. Maybe they, like, play poker together on the week. Like, it seems like there's a closeness, so maybe he just pulled up on a tick. Otherwise, I didn't see anything that, like, gave it away to me. Maybe there was, like, a way he said something, like, you know. But, yeah, I think using Ross here was good. He's a character that obviously we know did some stuff in his last movie that he wouldn't be an agent. So it made sense that it's like, oh, this, like, if you catch it, you got it. And he's a character that, like, we identify with, but I wouldn't. I'm not upset if he's not in the rest. I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched trailers. If he's not in the rest of the series, I'm not that upset that this is all we get of Ross, is just him introducing this role.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil the trailer. I'm assuming he's in the trailer. The only thing I saw was this scene. I hope there's a lot more. I like this character. I'll throw this question to John. John, this was kind of like a harebrained idea, and I don't know if there's anything to track. But is there any chance that Everett Ross has been a Skrull longer than we know? Like, was he a Skrull in Wakanda Forever?
So I don't think so, but I really, really quickly, before I go into further detail on that, I'd like to address what you just asked Tommy about what the indicator was that he was a Skrull. I'm guessing that Prescott knew that Fury was off-world and Skrull Ross didn't.
That could be too. Yeah, that's it. I wish they made it more clear what the trigger was. But yeah, like, how many people knew that information?
Well, he did say, I'm going to get this to Fury, as if it was that easy to do so.
Yeah.
So I think, because that's right when he clicked, right there. So my guess is exactly that. And to that point, I'm thinking that this Ross was not the real Ross. I don't think that the Ross we've been dealing with has been a Skrull this whole time. Especially considering he wasn't as savvy as the Wakandan trained Ross that we've been dealing with, especially more so knowing now that he is the Contessa's ex-husband. I feel like there's more to that than that Skrull Ross gave.
I honestly forgot about that.
I couldn't remember the relation. I thought maybe they're boyfriend and girl. I don't know. But yeah, they were married, I guess. That's
yeah. Yeah. Well, and he was taken away. So I feel like that was a transition period of like, yeah, because I also agree. I don't think he was a Skrull the whole time. I think it was a more recent thing. And I wonder if it's like, he's getting pulled out. Let's bring our guy in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next year we get, a couple things happen. We find out Ross is a Skrull. We kind of get a gruesome scene here where, like, he falls off the roof and then Talos kills him. this is like kind of dark. This is kind of stuff we don't typically see in even some of the movies. So, it was very refreshing to see, you know, people die.
It reminds me of the early TV shows, like the WandaVisions and the, you know, where it's like, yeah, this is actually a serious thing and not all of our TV shows need to have comedy in it. Yeah. There's still some comedy, but
for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you guys next. This is where we break into the AI intro. And I've got takes about this. I think this was so dumb. Why would you do this, especially in the midst of the writer's strike when, like, most of what they're asking for is, hey, don't take our job. Don't let AI take our jobs. And here we are creating an entire intro. Like, it was kind of cool. But, like, the whole thing with AI and, like, the problem with AI is, like, okay, you type in Samuel Jackson. It's going to look like Samuel Jackson's cousin. It doesn't look exactly like him. And they had, like, shots of AI Samuel Jackson that, like, vaguely looked like Samuel Jackson. So I'm like, I didn't love this. And maybe I'm being a little too sensitive. John, what do you think? The AI intro, did it work for you?
So I will admit that at first it didn't work. It didn't make sense. I was kind of taken aback by the Picasso-esqueness of it. But then I went on Instagram, and a lot of people made this point that really makes sense. It was an intentional move on Disney's part to use AI to make this opener, because AI tries to be human, and it's not. So it kind of mirrors the whole show. So I dig that. And if that's truly what Disney pulled, then kudos to them for kind of going against the grain, saying, we're going to do this because it makes sense to the story, not because we want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah. That's something I didn't consider. It's a very good point. And, you know, I guess somebody was in charge of creating the AI and splicing it together. So, yeah, I guess somebody had a job. Tommy, where do you fall on this?
I wish, if that's true, Disney just comes out and says that, because of all, like, say that in the beginning, because, like, to Michael's point, there is a lot of, like, nuance to the working, you know, obviously the visual arts is a big thing with Marvel. You know, it's not a secret that, like, they're worked very, very hard and put on so many different projects because of how much visual effects are needed on these things. So there's a part of me that's like, maybe they did that of like, all right, we're going to do this one as an AI to give you guys a break. There's a lot going into it. I agree. I was thinking the same thing of like, maybe it was to like an homage to the fact that like the Skrull are also just, you know, pretending to be humans. I like that theory. I think Disney just needs to come out because I think otherwise it just upsets, especially with the writer's strike and all this talk about taking jobs away from people and not giving them credit. I think you got to just let people know that. Like, that's why you did it.
Yeah, well said. I think there's middle ground here for sure. Okay, so the next scene here, this is what we get Nick Fury back on Earth, and he's meeting up with his buddies, Talos, and I can't remember if he sees Hill immediately, but yeah, just kind of touching base, and they kind of set up some of the, they talk about Gravik. Gravik seems to be kind of our big bad here. And they also talk about this group, Tommy, we joked about it, Americans versus against Russians. Very dumb name. Got to work on this. I mean, we talked about the Flag Smashers, what, 2 years ago now? That was a pretty crappy name, too. But what's better, Flag Smashers or Americans versus, against Russians?
I think it's Flag Smashers. Listen, if you somehow live in the MCU universe, I know what job you need. Coming up with title, coming up with group names for all these groups that are popping up in the MCU. Because it's, yeah, they're not good at coming up with names. Not at this at Marvel. Marvel, you're great at coming. Of course, that you wanted those names for a specific reason, I'm assuming, of course. But in the universe, man, these groups need to have more meetings, some more discussions.
John, anything strike you in this scene here where he's meeting up with his buddies again or the fact that he's back on Earth?
I really enjoyed his gruff look. I thought it was very indicative of the place he is mentally. It's because obviously when you get to a low point, you just become disheveled. You start to physically personify the internal struggles, and it's showing in his grayed out beard and his not caring about the eye being exposed and almost wearing more civilian clothes than I've ever seen him wear in anything coming up to this point. I just want to also present that Flag Smashers was better, but I also like it more because Americans Against Russians is AAR, which all I can hear in my head is R. And now I just think that they're all pirates.
But see, R would honestly be better if they just used their abbreviation and just went, "Arg, I'm coming for you." I'd be into it.
Plus the whole eye patch thing with Fury just kind of...
Yeah, that's true. But the old man, I've been calling him Old Man Fury because that's my pitch. Fury to me feels like Old Man Fury, like an Old Man Logan type. I'm really liking this angle, and I didn't think I was going to come into this show feeling that way because I love a Nick Fury that's 10 steps ahead. He's the Batman of the MCU. He's the human who is still keeping up with the superheroes, and I've always loved that. But I kind of like this angle of like Nick Fury's scared. Thanos scared Nick Fury, and that's interesting to me. What do you guys think?
Sorry, Tommy. I'll be completely honest. I blanked. I was actually doing something that we were just shaming them for doing. I was talking to Chat GPT over here.
Wow. No, you're good. I was basically saying the Nick Fury that's scared. The idea that like it seems like this show is really going to play into this Nick Fury that isn't always 10 steps ahead, isn't always the Batman like figure, but is now this Nick Fury that is kind of questioning himself and if it is enough, if keep trying, if keep fighting will win the war.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like, just kind of, he's kind of like a grizzled veteran here. And it's so exciting to get like full Samuel Jackson, right? Because I feel like, you know, we kind of get it in Captain Marvel, but like he's also de-aged and it's kind of weird. And, you know, we get him in the adventure stuff, but he's so much of a side piece that like, I feel like we're actually getting him, and he really gets to spread his wings and do Samuel Jackson things. And, you know, I'll point out some stuff and some comparisons when we come up to some scenes later on. I want to tell you the reason I was talking to ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT to come up with the name of an evil, rebellious group of humans on Earth that would be in the MCU universe. So do you want to hear the names that they came up with?
Yes, please.
Okay. We got the Crimson Cartel.
Oh.
We got the Techno Vanguard, the Anarchy Coalition, the Null Corporation, the Shadow Coven, and that's it, actually.
I kind of like the Techno Vanguard. I feel like they really got some nice color. I feel like you could do a lot with the outfits, and, you know, catchy name.
Like a cyber
Crimson punk. Cartel feels DC.
Yeah.
But all, we can. I think we can agree all of those are better than some of the ones we've talked about, the real ones. So.
Serpent Society, anybody?
Do I?
Serpent Society?
I like it. Okay, so next here we get Rhodey, and I have to imagine we get more Rhodey because this was such a one-off scene here. But Rhodey's talking to the president, kind of filling him. Nick Fury's back on Earth. John, I don't even want to frame this as a question. I just want to see if you agree. I mean, the president is 100% a Skrull, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I honestly believe Rhodey is too.
Whoa, okay.
I also side with John on that one as well.
I want to hear this. Is there anything that's leading you to believe that?
Why would Rhodey be so quick to jump at the adverse to Fury? Why would he be like, oh, yeah, he's AWOL, so is Hill? It's very out of character for James Rhodes to be against Fury like that on such a level, especially knowing what he just did in, what was it, Civil War? Was it Civil War where he talked back to Thaddeus Ross?
I think that was Infinity the...
it was Infinity War. That's right. So it was even more recent. And we know that he is very, very much against the establishment in terms of respecting the people that are against what he believes in, whether or not it's going to get him trouble. I mean, he said that's a court martial. He knows he's going to get in trouble. He does it anyway. Why would all of a sudden he's basically sucking up to the president like that? It just doesn't track.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think also the way both with Ross and Rhodey, I think the actors are doing a great job of, like, there's slight things that I'm like, it doesn't feel like Rhodey. It didn't feel the way he was talking. He might have still went with the government because he's definitely shown that he's like government. He'll side with what he's always been, which is a soldier first. But he'll still, like, defend his people. And it was kind of where they're, yeah, he's just like, yep, this is it. This is the information. Here you go.
Okay. I think you guys sold me. I think Rhodey's tell me, I feel like we need to do, like, each week, we need to do Skrull Patrol. We need to, like...
I think that is a segment. Yeah, we need, like, a little, like, sound. Whoop, whoop, Skrull Patrol, here we are.
I mean, should we do a Skrull Draft?
Ooh, that's... I don't hate it, because I think there's a big one coming. There's got to be a big Skrull, a big shock that leaves us all aghast.
We'll put a pin on that. We'll come back to that. Okay. So Nick Fury is going to go walk about Moscow, and this is where he gets picked up. Oh, first, I don't know what this means. He sees the girl with the rainbow ball, and it comes back later. Does this mean anything to you guys? I thought this was very odd, a weird detail.
I think it was just so that you knew, like, that was what keyed Nick Fury that something was off. Like, it was like, oh, I've already seen this girl here. So then when I see her later, it's like, oh, this girl shouldn't be here.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Maybe. Hey. But yeah, so this is where we see Olivia Colman's character, Sonya, I believe. And they have a conversation here. They seem to, like, not trust each other. They're both, like, vaguely talking about things and not seeming to give their full hand. We also get Nick Fury plants a camera here in the owl's eye. Any takeaways from this scene, gentlemen?
It was set up. It was nice seeing her. I don't know. I feel like they were really trying to do something with, like, the two characters. Like, oh, they have this history and stuff. And it was probably the part that I zoned the most out of the episode, because, like, the rest was just like, we're in it. But yeah,
I gotta say, this is where Nick Fury felt the most Samuel L. Jackson to me. Like, at the end of it, before he leaves, he goes, and if you got any other information you feel like sharing, let a brother know. I was like, all right, there he is.
there's a couple lines in there. I'm like, he must have, like, that was him, right? That was him coming out. He must have ad-libbed, you know, like.
No doubt.
How do you write Samuel Jackson that perfectly, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, let him executive produce the show.
Is he an executive producer?
Yes, he is.
All right. We love to hear it. So the next thing we get here, we go to New Skrullos, which is like the secret scroll location. There's a guy that shows up, and this is where we meet Amelia Clark's character, Gia, and love to see her. I mean, yeah, Olivia Colman's great. Amelia Clark, I mean, this is a star-studded group here. I love to see her here and a lot of her stuff, but yeah, she picks up this guy. She makes her show that he's a Skrull, and he's kind of, she's introducing, like, hey, we got Skrull food and Skrull clothes. But what I found interesting was, like, when they got to, like, the compound, like, people were wearing, like, Moscow clothes. Like, everyone was dressed like they're in the Russian mafia. I feel like, I don't know. Did they have Skrull clothes? I don't know. But what do you guys think of New Skrullos?
How on the nose can you get?
Yeah. I like that we're building up, like, this world of locations, right? We got New Asgard, we got New Skrullos, we got Wakanda, we got whatever that thing was in Shang-Chi. Like, I like whenever we introduce, like, a new town.
Is this their new, like, okay, so yeah, see, I'm telling you, people who name things, you would make millions in the MCU. They also need to rename all their new nations.
Yeah.
This is why the writers are so scared.
Yeah.
All they got is New Skrullos and Americans against Russians. I will say that might be, like, my bigger complaint about the episode, where, like, you know, thematically and, like, some of the big high octane action and the Samuel Jackson of it all was great, but the writing does fall flat in a lot of areas.
There's a lot that can be said about all that on all sides. I liked it. I think it's interesting getting her as this, like, eye into that world. And it's like, they didn't look like the bad guys. Like, you know, like the idea of, like, we just want to be part of our culture. We want our stuff. We want our things. We don't want to just become part of Earth, going about it probably the wrong way. But, like, the message I kind of understood. Like, I was like, I get it.
So, and I think that is a good point, Tommy. And I think that has a lot to say about, you know, talking about Russia, talking about the U.S. You know, a lot of times the people in power are very bad, but that doesn't make Russians bad people. It doesn't make Americans bad people. So, you know, I think there's something there that, like, maybe there is, like, an evil overlord as it would be Gravik. So I don't know. Something to think about.
Well, and from their point of view, they probably see Nick Fury as a bad guy. Like, everyone's a bad guy in the other person's story. So it's like, I think it's interesting that at least what I picked up on was that we're getting it from all sides of, like, everyone's got a perspective on this, and no one feels like they're in the wrong, you know, from their point of view. They're just fighting for what they believe they deserve. It's interesting.
Yeah. John, what did you think about their... This is kind of villainous, I would say. They're, like, harvesting people and, like, taking their memories and likeness. This is not a good look, right, John?
So I did think that was very not okay. The whole aspect of legitimately basically taking over a person's life feels familiar to me, and I can't remember what movie's already done that, because I know it's a trope that I've definitely seen in at least one or two movies before. But I'm also, in some sense, I'm on the sympathetic side of this as well, because again, they do just want to fit in. They do just want to be home. And I mean, that whole line, was it safe in your skin, or I can't remember exactly how they worded it, but it brings the question to my mind, are we dealing with another Thanos in the sense that they're not wrong? They're just doing it the wrong way.
Yeah, no, I think that's the best way to craft a villain. Yeah. So.
And we're just seeing this. I mean, I think the MCU's, I'm specifically saying MCU, but also use whatever you want to use. MCU's US America also probably did, like, we've seen them do controversial things and we're like, oh, this isn't great. Every government does things that, like, they think gets them the leg up to win the war that they think is going to get them peace. It's the story of governments is everyone's doing messed up things. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely messed up. We've seen it before, right? We've seen this memory wipe stuff before. Is it like a memory, like, wipe? Did the humans still have? That's the thing I was, like, a little confused by.
I think they're just copying their memory.
Yeah. Doesn't look like fine. Okay.
I think it's a copy, and then, like, you know how, and it's I'm going to throw in a comparison because I need, this just popped into my head. For anyone who's seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the LMD season, they were all put in that stasis pod. It kind of gives me those exact same vibes.
That was my read on it as well. It's like, yeah, it's like they're taking the information, then they're putting them away for now.
Hey, let me ask you this. So the Skrulls are looking for a new planet. Are there not like 100 other planets in the MCU that they could go? I mean, like, through Guardians of the Galaxy, we explore all of these, like, you know, these vacant planets. Well, I mean, why do they got to come here? I think that's the, like, I
could say the same to New Asgard. They let New Asgard come right in, gave them a whole town. New Skrulls, no. You must just become part of us.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But I hear you. You are. There are probably a million other planets out there.
I think the answer to that is both sides to one coin. Fury promised to help them after they fucked around with Earth in the 90s. Mm. Yep. So it's kind of they meaning the Skrulls were given a promise after they did something wrong. So Earth looks at them one way, sword, saber, shield, however you want to color it, looks at them as their problem that they're trying to solve.
Okay.
More specifically, Fury.
Well said. So they better not mess it up because...
Everybody gets one. Nobody gets two.
Which is like my favorite.
Well said.
Okay, so a couple of things happened here. Not a whole lot of notable. I will say, somebody said it was funny. We do have a quote coming up here where Talos is talking about his midlife crisis purchase or something, which, by the way, I don't think that's a thing. Like, I feel like it's, I don't know. It was all set up for Nick Fury to say that his midlife crisis was the Avengers, which that was a very funny moment. So,
yeah.
Let's see here. So, okay, so this is... I guess the next big thing here is when they go to meet this artist, or art salesman or whatever he is, but, you know, they're questioning him again. This is where we get the line from Nick Fury.
Everybody gets one. Nobody gets two.
Which was giving me big Jules from Pulp Fiction vibes. Like, I mean, he was straight up about to say, talking about Marcellus Wallace. Like, and this is what I mean where, like, I feel like he had a very heavy hand in some of this stuff because this is just so Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, I think at this point, Nick Fury and Samuel Jackson are just the same person. Like, I think it's kind of like Robert Downey Jr. with Tony Stark. I think at a certain point, that's just Robert Downey Jr. playing like himself. And I think that's the same with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. I agree.
And I will say there was a moment here where I like rolled my eyes so hard. When he said he's talking about killing him if he lies, and then he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna kill you, but not yet." And I was like, "Oh, we're really gonna do the hero thing with Nick Fury?" But then he ends up killing him. So I was like, "Heck yeah, go kill people! Kill people! We're in a war. Like, like people, it's life and death. They're superheroes. They're fighting all the time. Yeah. Kill people."
I agree. Is that
psychotic of me? I mean, come on.
A little bit, but you're also not wrong.
Okay. Fair. So yeah, next here, Talos is chasing down Gia, and this is where they connect, and we kind of find out that there's a bigger connection here. Talos tells Gia that her mother has died. It did take me, I didn't realize that this is his daughter.
Yeah, I think they mentioned Gia early on, but it's like you would have had to hear that name, remember that name, then when he mentioned it here, be like, oh, yes, now I remember that. It was a little like jumping through hoops a little to get there, but yeah. And I think we saw her in Captain Marvel too as a little kid. now she's all grown up.
All grown up. So, yeah, I really like this whole emotional core of the episode where, you know, Talos is really trying to convince her that, like, she's with the wrong people. We get the scene later on where she finally agrees to help them, which this is great. Is she going to continue to be a double agent the whole time?
Well, do you think she helped? I thought that was all the setup. Was she, like, pretended to help them by giving them the location of the false bombs so they wouldn't be able to find the real bombs because they got distracted by trying to find the red X's on the bags?
I guess that's right. I didn't really pick up. I don't know how I missed that, honestly.
Again, because it's all just like it's all in the background. Like, you have to be like, oh, this is what's happening here. But yeah, I think she like pretended to actually care after he said the sentimental thing. And then it was all part of Garvik's. I want to call him something else, like Garvin. He seems like a Garvin to me. Yeah. Like a Garvin is over there 10 steps ahead. How is this guy like 10 steps ahead on everyone?
Yeah. No, he's good. He's very good. And he's the actor, don't know his name, just very like.
Kingsley Ben-Weir, I believe, is what it is.
Okay. He's very, just menacing is the best way. Like every time we see him, scary. Okay, what's going on? Okay, so we also have this nice little scene with Nick Fury and Hill having a drink. They're playing chess. They're kind of catching up a lot of different things about him coming back. And, you know, this is where she's like, you're slow or whatever. So I thought this is kind of like her scene, right? This is like her goodbye scene, right, Tommy?
Yeah, this is definitely the moment that you're like, well, you've had a good run. But I think it was warranted. I like that she kind of stuck up like to Fury and be like, hey, man, you're the one that taught me. Like, if you can't. If you're not helping, you got to get out because you're going to be hurting if you're not going to be helping the cause. And I thought that was like, good on you. Like, yeah, he's clearly out of it. He's clearly not Nick Fury at this point. Who he is, we'll see. And like, maybe it's for the better or for the worse, this new Nick Fury, but he has changed from the events that has happened. And I thought this scene was really well. I liked this exchange because I've always liked the like, they have a certain chemistry, Maria Hill and Nick Fury, and in a way they talk to each other that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah, well said. And I do it sets up Nick Fury for like an interesting personal arc too. Like he has a lot to grow from. Like he's not this perfect, you know, superhero. And I think we can see him get to that point later, hopefully, or he dies, or he's a Skrull. I don't know.
Listen, this feels very much like the last round for Samuel L. Jackson. I'm hoping not, but I don't know. It's feeling that way.
Yeah. So the next part here, and maybe this is the thing that's really throwing me off, because after the conversation she has with her dad, she goes back to New Skrullos, and she's like, maybe we shouldn't do this. Like, that's her first try is, like, trying to talk them out of it. So something to, like, I think she's still kind of in the middle here.
I think the words definitely hit, right? Like, I think it's her father.
Yeah. So, but yeah, this is the whole kind of final scene here. A lot of things happen. They're following the bags. And I guess they lose one of the bags. And then like insane that like this just like a terrorist attack happens. Like just truly like, what a loss here for Nick Fury. And then on top of losing Hill, John, I'll throw it to you. What did you think of like this whole climactic moment?
I was not expecting such an explosive finish, no pun intended. I did expect something to happen. I don't know exactly what I was expecting, but a successful terrorist attack was not what I expected in the first episode of this series. That said, I also know that I read recently that Kevin Feige kind of cut the cord and said, go for it. We want this show to be violent. So I don't know what I was expecting when he said that. I definitely wasn't expecting 4 or 5 massive explosions in an isolated city square that was heavily populated with people, amongst that also being the end of Maria Hill as we potentially know it. So yeah, great ending. Great ending.
Yeah, and again, kind of like the Nick Fury thing. This is like, this leaves room for us to do better in the future, which I really like. Tommy, I'm deleting the podcast if we find out that Maria Hill is alive.
Just we're just not going to cover it.
I'm not coming back. Like, I'm so sick of the fake deaths.
I think you, because like, yeah, I think she's dead. That would, where is where I would put my money on it, for sure.
I saw somebody post something about how in the comics she has like clones of some sort, and I was like, please no, don't do this.
Better give her the Coulson treatment.
Yeah. But no, I think my thing with this last scene that I thought was the best part is like, it really sets up Garvik as like a really, like you said, like a really, at least he is a really bad guy. And he also has a hold on everything. He was like I said, 10 steps ahead on everything. The changing scene where he's changing, going between leading Nick Fury to the spot that he wanted Nick Fury to be in. And then the double whammy of being able to kill Hill. It's like nothing went wrong for him. His plan went off without a hitch. It like, and shows should do this. Don't just tell us how your bad guys are bad. Show, demonstrate to us like why we should be afraid of their power and their abilities to be like planning this entire terrorist attack.
Yeah, I like how you say he's pretty bad.
He's pretty bad. He's like,
I think, you know, he's like the worst, maybe.
Yeah. No, he's terrible.
Okay, any other final thoughts here? Any other thing we want to touch on before I do something else?
I do actually have one point that I think that you guys overlooked.
Okay.
And it's going to be a question that I think is going to ride to the very last episode of the series. Yes, Gravik is seemingly the bad guy, but who is that shadow in the top of the building?
Ooh.
Because that's got to be the guy pulling the strings of Gravik.
Yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing it's going to be someone that we already know is well established long term, but I don't know who.
Is it our favorite twist? Power Broker. Is the Power Broker in charge of this whole thing?
I mean, I did go. My first thought was the Flag Smashers. Maybe there.
I just, Power Broker's gonna come in here and take care of business.
Turns out it's Mephisto all along.
Yeah. Oh, which other? Yeah. What other people can we throw out that we've been speculating? Jar Jar? Does he? It's Jar Jar.
Okay. Yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it? Definitely wouldn't see it coming.
Big Disney crossover, Marvel and Star Wars. Here we go.
Misa back. Yeah.
And now you guys would literally be the personification of the Disney MCU crossover scene.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so we talked about it. I want to do it. I want to go on Skrull Patrol. I want to do a Skrull draft.
Okay.
You guys down?
I'm in.
Is it only on the characters we've seen so far? Because I don't know who's in the future.
Yeah, I will just people in the first episode.
Okay.
My first guess is Gia. I think Gia's a Skrull. Just kidding. I'll throw it to John first. John's the guest. So, John, do you have somebody that you think could be a Skrull here?
I think we're going to be all surprised. And I do believe we're going to find out this Fury is a Skrull.
It's definitely on my short list.
Yeah, you can't trust anyone. That
would be
John.
The biggest. That would be the biggest way to do it. Okay, Tommy, who should go next between us?
Gosh, I hate stealing it from John, but we both said earlier I gotta go with Rhodey. I do think Rhodey could be a Skrull.
Okay, well that's fine because you didn't steal mine because I think the bigger slam dunk is the president.
Yeah,
so I'll say the president. John, we'll throw it back to you. We'll do one more each. I don't even know how many characters we have left. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll try it though. Do you have somebody in mind, John?
I wouldn't be surprised if Sony is a Skrull.
That's a good pick. I will say in the opening credits, this is kind of going back to your first pick though. They showed Nick Fury and like half his face is a Skrull. So, you know, it'd be interesting. It was right in front of us the whole time for sure. Tommy, do you have a second one? I feel like I don't even know who I picked, but
yeah, I'm trying to find random. I'm going to say not the version that was actually a Skrull, but the actual little girl with the blue ball is a Skrull.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's it, huh? The girl with the ball.
I don't know. That also, now thinking about that scene though, was that also to let us know that like he's been watching this whole time, because he turned into multiple people, I think, that Nick Fury's seen. So is it like he's been in all these places this whole time? So maybe it was a Skrull all along. So I don't know if that's a good pick. I don't know if there's anyone left, to be honest.
Here, rip. I'm gonna IMDb this.
Yeah.
Find out who's in the rest of the series and might make your life easier.
Oh, yeah, and I'm about to spoil myself on like the.
Yeah, then just give me one.
Yeah, I'm just gonna first one I see that hasn't been mentioned. I almost said Ben Mendelsohn, but obviously he's a Skrull already. I think literally everyone else is a Skrull. I think
We'll give him. We'll get John gets the two, and we'll get the other ones, because I think those are the four like prime suspects at this point.
Yeah. So, okay. Fair enough. That's good. I like it. John, this was so much fun having you on here. You know, ever since I came on your podcast, I knew that we had to keep chatting more, because it's always fun to catch up with you. I want to give you a chance to tell people about Mad Trivia, where they can find it, and anything else you're up to.
Sure. So basically, the Mad Trivia podcast is a brainchild of mine based on the interest of movies, trivia, and especially Mad Libs. I've always loved what can happen when you make a Mad Lib. When you factor in people's ad-libbing in movies like Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, or even Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, you always get these extraordinary outcomes. I Am Iron Man, perfect example of an ad-lib that turned out to be memorable beyond its years and probably beyond our lifetimes. Half of the Deadpool movies lines are improvisational and ad-libbed, and that's just it for me. So when I decided that I wanted to make this podcast, it was, I like the idea of movies and trivia. I really like when people are stumped, so I like to take the hardest possible questions to the movies that people think they love, just to show them that they don't love them as much as they really could, and also give them the opportunity to learn more about their movies. I'm sure you remember you found out a whole bunch of stuff that you didn't know about Toy Story, right?
Yep.
Yep. And then it really gives me the opportunity to find out what's in that head of theirs. When you give them the opportunity to change a movie, and I've changed it since your episode, I don't give them the opportunity to know what movie they're changing before telling them. So now I get the words, then they know a movie. So it's completely and utterly without context. So it turns into this all-out fiasco. I must reference in the most important way the Infinity War episode that I dropped a few weeks ago. If you need a good laugh, I assure you there is no better place to go than either that or the Austin Powers episode that I just released. They're just so many good people in the world that have so many fun things on their head or in their head that they can say. And it makes my show so much fun for me. And I have no interest in making this show about me. I have all the desire in the world to make this show about the guest and about the fun that they can have with the things that they say they love, but also the things that they don't know that they can make with just a few changes of a word. And it has come so far for me. I've gotten, as I've told you in the past, I've had a few celebrities on. I've got a comedian coming up in a couple days. I'm actually going to be recording with a comedian. And it's just such a good time. And I truly believe that if you like movies or you like trivia or you like Mad Libs and any combination of those three, you will have a blast listening to my show.
And where can they find all this stuff? You're on all the platforms?
Yeah, I'm allergic to Facebook, so we're going to pass on Facebook. But on Instagram, I am. You can find it just by searching the Mad Trivia Podcast, or if you want the actual at, it is at @the_mad_trivia_podcast. I'm also on TikTok and Twitter. Twitter, obviously, is a cesspool of toxic people. I actually use the word people very loosely, because it's very toxic and it's just a cesspool of almost like a splurge of AI and politicians and Elon Musk. So I do have all three of those. I do have a Facebook account for the thing, but I don't really do much with it. My biggest one is definitely Instagram, followed closely by TikTok. So, yeah, I'd really appreciate a follow on those. And I also don't hesitate to accept guests. So if anybody would like to be on my show, send me a DM. Tommy, I'm waiting for you.
I was just about to nominate Tommy.
Waiting. I didn't even know I was being waited on.
Tommy, what movies do you think you would do good at in trivia? Like if you got to pick your favorite movies, what's on your list?
Your five all time.
Gosh.
I think I know one.
Which one? You say it then.
Big Fish.
Yeah, I do love it. No, it is. And I've watched it. The problem is like some movies are my favorite, but I'm like, I probably only saw it one time, but it is my favorite. I really enjoyed it and it made an impact on my life.
Yeah.
Apollo 13, another great movie.
Yep.
I'm looking, really put him on the spot. I know. I had to name five movies.
Tough. I had a tough time curating. Yeah.
Listen, I think I could come up. I definitely have my favorites. I feel like TV. I know a lot of TV.
Like I might have to stretch myself out to TV sometime down the line.
Yeah, because I'm big on the TV nowadays. Like Michael knows, I'm basically just rewatching just random TV episodes now.
Yeah, it's like 800 episodes of Naruto. And
listen, it was a journey, but you got to go on that journey.
You got to. Well, I'm going to make sure I'm going to connect you guys after this.
Yes, please.
I'm going to make it happen because I want to hear the podcast. So I'll definitely
do it. I think it'll be a great time.
Yeah. Tommy, what's going on in your world?
Oh, you know, I'm like looking around more.
Do I need to sweep?
I got a vacuum. listen, life's great over here. We're working from home life. That's my life update. And just watching some currently I have gotten into the Attack on Titan. So if people are into that, come reach out to me. I'm on the second season. It's been an exciting time. I hope there's at least one anime listener that's always looking forward to like where I am in my journey of this anime.
Tommy, I feel like if you told me that when you first started, I would have come with you. Now I feel like I'm behind.
Well, and I actually think you'd like Attack on Titan too.
I've seen the first half of the first season and I just need to get back into it.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it. And then the other one, our good friend Briz is also making me watch another one because he doesn't like Attack on Titan. Well, I don't want to put that in his mouth. It's not that he doesn't like Attack on Titan. He just really wants me to watch Seven Deadly Sins. So that's the other one I am currently watching. Yeah, that's it.
All right. I actually have a question for Tommy based on that. Are you a fan of One Piece?
I have not dabbled. I've heard One Piece is a show that almost no one finishes because it's so much, but you watch so much. It's still an amazing show. And so it is on my radar to start the One Piece journey.
We'll just watch the live action one coming to Netflix.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that. Johnny, you were One Piece, man.
I'm actually not the biggest anime guy. I'm 35 this year, so I grew up on Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball and Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon and Digimon. Those are my jam.
With Digimon too, and Digimon was definitely the one that I remember very fondly.
I was a Yu-Gi-Oh guy through and through. I didn't mess with no Pokemon.
Yu-Gi-Oh is another good one. I was a Pegasus. Is it bad that I was a Pegasus stan?
No, he's awesome.
Yeah. Come on, Yu-Gi boy.
Yeah, oh, so good.
All right, stay tuned for the Yu-Gi-Oh recaps coming in the fall. I'm actually totally for that. But
listen, I would love some like flashback, random like watch this show and talk about it.
Yeah, there you go. We'll put a pin on it. All right, guys, I am going to close us out. I like to remind everybody to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. And if you leave a actual review, we'll read it on the show. Sure, why not? So yeah, if you're not driving or you know handling a baby or something, go to the iTunes and leave us a review.
Are those the only two? If you're not only driving or have a baby in your hand, I mean, otherwise you have no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, I can't come up with anything. Operating heavy machinery, I don't know. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week with a Secret Invasion recaps. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And I think that's all we got for you guys. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.
I was letting you do it because it's like a scroll, Tommy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you didn't prepare me enough for this.
Oh, okay. Well, like the audience. Hey, audience. It was supposed to be. Bye.
See you later.